Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast with my dad, Tad Knights. Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. How about this week? Pandemic, unjust killing of another black man, and riots. How do you remain optimistic? How do you lead? How do you stay above it all and move into the storm in an effort to challenge the situation and change the world for the future? Well, let's talk about it. This podcast is going to be shorter than normal, and I have no life story that is relevant to share. I have no tool to change what has happened, and I've got no quips. I do, however, have some fuel for the future. It's all mindset, and here's where we're going to start. We're going to look at how nature responds to trauma. In nature, there are two things that can lead to immediate and sweeping trauma: flooding and fire. The ecological and biological worlds have learned how to adapt and how to behave when they face trauma. As I have been watching TV and seeing posts on social media, my heart's being squeezed. My birthplace of Milwaukee was on fire, and pretty much every major city had fires and riots and violence and protests in the last few days. All this while the economy is reaching the lowest of lows and we're fighting a pandemic. Add into this the stress of daily life, mental health struggles, suicide, abuse, violence, and uncertainty, and it's really hard to look through the storm and see a bright future. However, there is one, and that is why this week we're going to look to the behavior of animals in nature when they are stressed, threatened by fire, and how in the end, the ecosystem, after everything is burned, recovers stronger and faster. So I did some research and came across this quote. People looked at burned areas and think they're dead. They're not dead. They've just changed, says Patricia Kennedy, a wildlife biologist at Oregon State University in Union. It's a whole new habitat. Now, if you listened last week, you know that I have an affinity for National Geographic, and that is where I found this quote. I researched the behavior of animals when there is fire. Animals and plants view the burning fire and the remnants as an opportunity to change. Like Kennedy said, it's a new habitat. So, what are leaders to do after the fire burns to make lasting change? Well, I'll tell you what not to do. Not macro-level policies, laws, or funding, because none of that's going to change things. What is going to change things is micro-changes in attitude, advocacy, empathy, love, compassion, and collaboration. I've talked enough about these qualities in past episodes, but did you hear the formula? Right now, we are divided when we should be united, and unity takes leadership. People don't have to agree on how we do things, but they do have to agree on what. What we need now is a mindset that looks at the changed world as an opportunity for improvement instead of an opportunity to cast blame. Blaming others for the situation or what has happened only leads to resentment, people feeling they need to take sides, being defensive, and an inability to move forward. Forgiveness as a leader is paramount, and leaders need to demonstrate daily on a micro level the proper behaviors. We need to stop what is wrong when we see it. We need to stand up to injustice when we observe it. And we need to call out ignorance. This is not a call to action to take to the streets or the statehouse. It is, however, a call to you in your immediate environment to take a look at the teachable moments occurring all around you, to speak to others about judgment or prejudice, to avoid trying to justify or minimize what is occurring, to recognize that protests lead to short-term compromises and that true shift in the world comes from the smallest of all parts, you. Leaders are people who have influence over another person. That makes each of us a leader. Buffalo leaders charge into the storm with optimism and zeal. But fire is not a storm. That is destruction. And fire, although destructive, it leaves opportunity. Once we find ourselves safe and the ground cooled, well, that is when we look to ourselves. We embrace the new environment, and we have to rebuild and move forward. Fires are extinguished first by the actions of one, then by the energy that comes from seeing others stand up, then by creating expectations and shifting the culture, and finally, by tolerance, meaning the acceptance of those you meet in the moment you meet them. Micro leadership begins by example, how we talk, how we respond, how our nonverbals cue others, and finally, by our physical actions. Buffalo leaders recognize that the charge begins only when they start it. As smart thinkers, here's what needs to occur. We each need to proceed with an expectation of excellence for all others and a belief, a true belief, that anyone can achieve it. We need to reinforce on the smallest levels respect, first for ourselves, and with that, others. Others who don't look like us, who don't agree with us, who judge us or qualify us. We must teach people to stand up for themselves and then support them. We must, on the smallest level, work with each other to create relationships so that when the fires start, we work together instead of against each other. Fire only spreads if there is fuel for it. Well, what if the fuel was instead to prevent, and the fuel became fuel to tolerate, fuel to work towards acceptance, and we fueled the focus on each other's ability to serve each other, and not to have preconceived judgments made because of their skin, their neighborhood, their looks, their beliefs, their lifestyle, or their choices? It can happen. And it begins with micro actions. What we talk about at our dinner tables, how we respond in the presence of others, what we allow to be said around us. Silence in the presence of ignorance is acceptance. A micro change or challenge can shift others, others who didn't know they created discomfort. But most people, by their nature, work to eliminate conflict and discomfort. But leaders recognize they have influence, and Buffalo leaders do not sit by idle. They are not afraid to stop and say, "Hey, that's not right. That's not cool to say. Please don't do that around me." Ignorance leads to others feeling threatened. And when you feel threatened, you are afraid. When you are afraid, you act off of instincts that are pushing you to either fight or fly away. When you stand up to ignorance and create environments that are predictable, that others understand how to respond and behave, and most importantly, environments where it is expected to do what is right, you can instill micro changes in the world all around you. When I was a middle school principal, there'd be dust-ups on occasion, and if I learned one thing, it is this. No kid ever fought for the sake of fighting. No one breaks things just for the thrill. They fight because they're threatened, and they break things because they don't feel respected in that environment, so they don't care for it. The threats and disrespect is the fuel for fire. Acceptance, tolerance, collaboration, and unity, well, that all but eliminates those conditions. And in order to do that, well, you must be the change that you desire to see in the world. That's what Gandhi taught us. My favorite Gandhi quote is this: "You can't shake hands with a clenched fist," meaning we can't move forward if we are looking to blame. Now, you can either cast blame or you can fix what's bothering you. And I always choose to fix it. And my call for you is to begin at the smallest level. Explain that fires are burning because people are angry, because they don't have relationships, that people fight because they are threatened, and that people only act out because they're worried about something that is undermining their own ability to be who they want to be. Violence and destruction are unacceptable. But when the fire is burning, the animals respond. They're spooked. They're afraid, and yet they return to that scorched earth with an understanding that they will now have to be different in order to survive in the new conditions. And they take advantage of the opportunities that have been presented. We need to take advantage of this reset. We need to make micro-level changes, and we need to teach at the smallest and most intimate level how to have an accepting attitude, how to advocate for others, how to be empathetic, how to love our uniquenesses, how to be compassionate, and how to collaborate across differences in order to take the scorched earth and, as the scientists stated before, recognize our opportunity to create a new habitat that is better than ever before. So let's do some smart thinking. Describe what you need to do to demonstrate leadership on a micro level in order to create change. List the behaviors within yourself that need to change. And describe how you can create the conditions on the smallest level to increase the tolerance of the world in which we live. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. Hey, thank you for listening, and please share this and rate this on your social media platform. And as always, thank you to the Well Pennies for their awesome music. Last, I really struggled with this. I've been pretty upset about everything that's going on, and I'm sure you are as well. But this episode is not the one I had planned. I had planned on one about happiness, and it just seemed totally tone deaf right now. As I watch TV and see everything occurring this past week in Minneapolis and around the country, and the responses that people have done and how they've acted, I really feel helpless. And then I feel angry that it just keeps happening. And then I felt called to just discuss it through my eyes as an educator and a history teacher. What we tolerate is what we get, and what we ignore is what we reinforce. I learned that in my training for teaching. It seems we are tolerating the wrong things and we are ignoring too much. So the challenge for us is simple, almost too simple. Change the world at a micro level by immediately addressing you, yourself, your leadership, your tolerance, your ignorance, your advocacy. Reflect upon what it is that you ignore. And when you hear ignorant comments followed by laughter, simply say, that's not cool. You don't need to engage. You just need to disrupt momentarily and influence others by example because it gives them courage. Of course, you can go further if you have the courage, but the fact is most people and most of us are afraid to be agents of change. Yet, we can do so in our homes, with people we trust, with people we work with, in our environments. You can dispel myths, address ignorance, use these times as teachable moments so that those around you are better. As my old principal used to say to me when he was frustrated with kids, he'd say, well, when you plant potatoes, you get potatoes. And I always smarted back at him. But there are so many different things you can do with a potato. This week, instead of talking about everything around us, do something. No, do a lot of things, but do them in small ways. Model to others how to stand up, how to engage without threatening, how to inform yourself, and how to be a leader that charges into the storm on behalf of those you serve, which is everyone. And remember that every action you take has a reaction, and the more micro actions you take, the more likely that others will grow from your presence. Once the fire is burning, we need to recognize that there will be opportunities afterwards. And the opportunity is to lead. And we need to lead because we can be better.
Driving in a trance through your lost and lonely town. Something in the air that could blow your whole house down. Something like a tragedy. Something that you think you need. Turning on a dime, you pull into your local store. Hours going by, you forget what you're looking for. Maybe it's a particle. Maybe you're too lost to know. Maybe what you need is a different kind of love, one that you have never seen. Maybe all you are is a part of a star on a long journey. Maybe what you need is a better kind of love, one that you could only dream. Maybe it'll take all the sorrow away and let you feel free. Maybe all you are is a part of a star on a long journey.